The following segment of the Ronnie Deutsch Radio Show is brought to you by Megan Reeves at ReevesLoans.com.
And now, stay tuned for the most exciting, new, sexy radio show on the planet, the Ronnie Deutsch Radio Show.
Hello, good morning, and welcome to the Ronnie Deutsch Radio Show. I'm your host, Ronnie Deutsch. And you know what? I feel really happy this morning because I'm no longer addicted to Facebook, unlike the 2.2 billion monthly users from around the world. In fact, I've been without Facebook now for over 6 months, and I feel healthier than ever. Although I have to admit, I do miss some of my brother's inspiring trash talk about my San Francisco Giants, especially since his Dodgers lost the World Series in Game 7. Which leads me back to you, Facebook. Because last week, the whole world finally learned the truth about them, which is Facebook is in the business for one reason and one reason only, and that's to make as much money as is humanly possible, even if it means doing business with companies who steal data from 50 million unsuspecting Facebook addicts like yourself, your friends, and your family. Now, don't get me wrong. Of course, Facebook is a social media platform that allows you to share your family's photos and recipes and relationship status, as well as your opinion about what you ate last night and where you ate it. Because Facebook tracks everything about you, including your current location. And of course, Facebook has one of the most amazing advertising platforms in the country for business owners, which I assure you, I used it almost on a daily basis when I was known as the tax lady and owner of the largest business of its kind in the country with thousands of employees and tens of thousands of clients. But you see, the reality is that Facebook is in the business of selling advertising and data to the highest bidder, like Cambridge Analytics, the British political research group that's linked to, you guessed it, then-candidate Donald Trump. In fact, Cambridge Analytics CEO, Mr. Alexander Nix, that dude bragged about some of the unique techniques his company used to sway a bunch of international elections. And I'm not talking about just a couple of international elections. No, no, no. Instead, I'm talking about 200 elections from around the world. And it was all caught on videotape, which makes perfect sense when you think about the scandalous techniques Cambridge used to influence elections. For example, one technique Cambridge used to sway international elections, including sending Ukrainian sex workers to seduce the opposing candidate, which sounds like a lot of fun. Apparently, it's pretty easy to send an attractive woman to seduce a rival candidate and secretly videotape the encounter. Can you believe that? And guess what? It's also really expensive. Since Cambridge charged millions of dollars for their very unique entrapment services. You see, the fact of the matter is, Cambridge was able to influence over 200 international elections with sex videos and by manufacturing damaging stories about opposing political candidates like Hillary Clinton, which, let's be real, that's pretty easy to do. The bottom line is that the CEO of Cambridge isn't bragging anymore because he was fired a couple of days ago. Because the last time I checked, entrapping politicians is illegal in most countries, including America. But the thing about all of this is that if you really break it down, what Cambridge did was totally illegal, but brilliant. Because they were able to jimmy-rig the system for their powerful clients by harvesting data and using it to identify the personalities of the American voters. And that's you. And guess what? If you're able to identify the personalities of the American voters, then I assure you, you'll be able to create and produce compelling advertisements, marketing materials, and social media content that is going to influence behavior, including voting behavior, which in my opinion is freaking brilliant, regardless of how they did it. And that's where this story gets fascinating, because Cambridge is in the business of helping politicians get elected by mining your Facebook data and the data of over 50 million other Facebook users without their permission, which is unbelievable to me and my producer, Mike, especially since they did it to Facebook, who's like the god of social media. And what also makes this story equally compelling is that President Trump's campaign hired Cambridge years ago to help President Trump prepare for the campaign and ultimately win. And it worked, all thanks to Facebook and the ability to create a fake app that tricked Facebook users, maybe even yourself, into giving personal information, which in turn opened the door to 50 million unsuspecting Facebook sheeps getting hacked and attacked by a bunch of well-paid wolves dressed like doctors taking fake surveys. Now, many of you understand how important it is to have the right branding and messaging in business as well as politics, especially if you're running for our nation's highest office. Which is why I want to commend you, Cambridge, because even though you did a lot of illegal things, I believe that you came up with some of the best slogans in the world. For example, make America great again and drain the swamp. Do you realize how popular these slogans are? However, what I didn't know and what my producer Mike didn't know about our president's outstanding campaign slogans is that they were created from the data that Cambridge stole and harvested from the 50 million unsuspecting Facebook users. Which is why, are you ready for this? Facebook is being sued in large class action lawsuits, and they're being attacked by every major government agency in the country. And I'm telling you right now, do you realize that this embarrassment has cost you, Mark Zuckerberg, $5 billion in losses? And I'm telling you, it's going to get a whole lot worse when you're appearing in front of Congress. I mean, do you realize what a scam this was? Since some of these Facebook users actually thought they were taking part in an educational program that was supposed to help, are you ready for this, psychologists with their future research, which is almost comical when you think about it. So many of you are probably wondering, what's the problem and what's the uproar all about? After all, an argument can be made that President Trump's campaign and messaging was simply better than Hillary Clinton's campaign and messaging, even if our president had a little help from some very powerful friends who knew how to steal and mine the personal data of 50 million unsuspecting Facebook friends, right? Well, first of all, Cambridge lied to Facebook when it stole the 50 million Facebook accounts, which you and I know is illegal. After all, none of these 50 million users gave Cambridge permission to steal, mine, and sell their personal Facebook data for President Trump or any of their other well-known clients. Which is why I believe that you, Facebook, you are so negligent, and I can't wait to see more lawsuits filed against you, just like all those lawsuits filed against Equifax, because you, Facebook, were negligent. Now, what really concerns me and what should scare the hell out of you is that our democracy is under attack by these apps and very specialized hackers. In fact, every minute of every day, hackers from all over the world are trying to hack your social media accounts and steal everything they can from you, including your social security number and your vote. Of course, hackers want to brainwash you, but so do politicians. So let's not be hypocritical here. That's why I urge Facebook, Google, Instagram, Twitter, Snapchat, and every other social media company out there to take responsibility and fix these problems so your personal data is protected. All right, everyone, I've got a great show for you today because we're talking about you, your kids, and how everyone can live happily ever after on the Ronnie Deutsch Radio Show.
You're listening to the Ronnie Deutsch Radio Show. We'll be back with more right after this.
This portion of the Ronnie Deutsch Radio Show is brought to you by board-certified plastic surgeon Dr. Arnold Almonte.
Hey, surf is definitely up on the Ronnie Deutsch Radio Show.
Hello, good morning, and welcome back to the Ronnie Deutsch Radio Show. I'm your host, Ronnie Deutsch, and the reason why the surf is up this morning, it's pretty simple. That's because Dr. Arnold Almonte, my favorite plastic surgeon in the whole world, is in studio today. Good morning, Dr. Almonte.
Hi, Ronnie.
And what Dr. Almonte and I are going to talk about and continue on with is our top three theme. So, Dr. Almonte, tell me what we've got on store today for our top three theme.
Well, Ronnie, first of all, thanks for that warm welcome. Love being part of the show. I just want to remind everyone, my name is Dr. Arnold Almonte. I'm a board-certified plastic surgeon, and I specialize in facial cosmetic surgery. You know, as you know, many plastic surgeons do the whole body, face, boobs, tummies, lipo, and all that, and that's fine. But, you know, in those cases, face may comprise 10 to 15% of the practice. In my case, 100% of the practice is dedicated to the face. And I just tell you that to let you know you're in good hands. We're located in Roseville, California, and our website is dralmonte.com. That's dralmonte.com. And you can also reach us by phone, which is 916-771-2062. Getting into our top three today, we're going to talk a little bit about some of the risks of plastic surgery. You know, it's always a concern with patients, and it's always good to get that information up front. But then we'll talk also about the things that we do to prevent those risks, okay? Today's top three are the risks associated with facial surgery, and they are bleeding, infection, and scarring.
Now, Dr. Almonte, I think it's really important to point out that a lot of people have surgery, and so I think these same concerns, risks, apply to everyone regardless of the surgery. Wouldn't you agree?
Absolutely. You know, the issue with surgery is that any of these complications can occur. And, you know, for every operation, there's always like a percentage of risk. For facial cosmetic surgery, it's no different. But there are things we can do also to prevent these from happening. The number one risk is always bleeding. I mean, this can occur with any operation, but particularly in the face because it's so vascular. So we take several precautions to prevent this from happening. Preoperatively, I always try to ensure that the patient has stopped any blood thinners or any medications that can cause bleeding. So that's always number one. Then intra-op, which is during the surgery, that's my job. That's where I take all the details as I do the surgery to prevent any kind of bleeding from occurring. We stop all the little bleeders using cautery. And then post-operatively, this is where compression helps. You know, when you do a surgery on any part of the body, but particularly the face, you want nice compression at the end of the operation to prevent further any kind of bleeding. If you do all three, you should really have very low risk for any kind of bleeding problems.
Now, Dr. Almonte, as you know, I've seen you on numerous occasions, right? And I love the way that I look. I've had my moles removed, I've had Botox, and I've had microneedling done. And I need to be honest with you, I never saw one drop of blood. So can you differentiate when you talk about the risks, what those risks actually apply to as it relates to cosmetic procedures?
So whenever you have surgery, you know, you're making an incision, you're always breaking through little tiny blood vessels. And as those blood vessels are, you know, injured during the procedure, you know, they can bleed. But obviously there's things that we can do, cautery, et cetera, to prevent those from bleeding. It's when they bleed that you get a little bit of the bruising after surgery. And you can also get what is known as a little hematoma, or a collection of blood under the skin. This is what we're trying to prevent when we take all those precautions I just described.
Now, for those of you just joining us, I am with my favorite plastic surgeon in the world, Dr. Arnold Almonte. And we're talking about the risks involved with cosmetic surgery. And we're now headed into the number two risk involved.
The second one is infection. There's always a possibility for infection in any operation. You know, you're going to make an incision. You can always, there's always a small risk of, you know, some bacteria getting in there. So we really do a lot to prevent this by obviously using sterile technique during surgery, but I also give patients antibiotics, you know, prior to surgery in order for them to prevent an infection.
And Dr. Almonte, we are a country driven on statistics. So would you mind sharing with us what are some of the statistics regarding bleeding or an infection?
Well, you know, depending on what studies you read, bleeding could be anywhere from 1% up to, you know, even up to 10%. In my practice, I can tell you it's probably less than 1% simply because, you know, we're just you know, expert at what we're doing, meaning we take care of only one thing, which is the face. But as a general rule, the percentage is quite low.
And Dr. Almonte, what is the third risk involved with surgery, which, as we've mentioned, surgery on any part of the body has risks?
Well, scarring is the other thing that patients talk about and that I also like to share with my patients. You know, whenever you make an incision, you're going to have a healed scar, and it's how well it looks is what we're trying to get at, right? And this is the kind of thing that we always talk about. However, there's techniques that we use to prevent that from happening. Some of those techniques include using a very fine suture technique. After all, it is plastic surgery, so we want to use the finest suture. And then post-op, you know, there's things like scar creams that we use. And of course, there's a number of other modalities that we use if a scar occurs. So if you have any questions about cosmetic surgery, facial surgery, and certainly concerns about risk, please call me at 916-771-2062. Again, that's 916-771-2062.
Now, Dr. Almonte, what's so fascinating to me is that I have no scars. I don't see any bruising from my Botox. When I leave your office after being microneedled, I feel 10 years younger. So can you be specific about the procedures that you're referring to that truly relates to surgery?
You know, when we talk about surgery, we're really talking about any time you make an incision. And in facial cosmetic surgery, we're really talking about the facelift, which in my practice is known as the A-lift. We're talking about eyelid surgery, brow lifting. These are the procedures that we use to, you know, basically make a face look younger and fresher. But anytime we make an incision, you're always going to be at risk for some of these things. However, I can tell you that the techniques that we use, and especially that we're really an expert in these techniques, we really mitigate those risks to where they're very minimal.
Now, Dr. Almonte, I don't want to embarrass you, but I've been to your office on so many occasions and I've met your patients. And I need to be honest, I haven't seen one scar, okay? Not one scar. In fact, your clients are as in love with you as I am. So can you explain what in the world you do? Because I see no scars, Dr. Almonte.
Well, you know, I had a lady come in the other day, and she was concerned specifically about scarring, etc. And so I had a nice consultation with her and just reassured her that the technique that I use is always going to be geared towards minimizing the appearance of the scar. We, you know, whenever we do surgeries for the face, for example, we go right along the ear and behind the ear or right along the hairline. These are places where scars hide the best, and we use really delicate techniques to close the incisions. And I think because of that, you can hardly see scars. But I think it's also important just to point out that not only do we do surgical procedures at the El Monte Center, we also do non-surgical procedures like Botox and fillers and microneedling and such. So, you know, there's always options for everyone. Please call us at 916-771-2062. Again, that's 916-771-2062.
Dr. Almonte, I love our interviews. And my producer, Mike, you see how excited he got when you started to talk about those boobs. All right, everyone, I've got a great show for you today because I'm bringing in studio Renee Nielsen. And as you know, she is our radio show's real estate expert. And we're going to talk about the market, interest rates, and everything as it relates to you living the American dream and owning a home. All that is coming up next on the Ronnie Deutsch Radio Show.
We'll be back with more of the Ronnie Deutsch Radio Show right after this.
The following segment is brought to you by Renee Nielsen, the real estate expert for the Ronnie Deutsch Radio Show.
And now back to the Ronnie Deutsch Radio Show. Here's Ronnie.
Hello and welcome back to the Ronnie Deutsch Radio Show. I'm your host, Ronnie Deutsch, and I have goosebumps right now because I have Renee Nielsen in studio. And Renee is our radio show's real estate expert, and she's amazing. Good morning, Renee.
Good morning.
Renee, it's so good to see you. I miss you. All right. So, Renee, what my producer Mike and I want to know, can you please give us an update on the real estate market as it relates to our great state of California?
Ronnie, I just have to tell you, if you go look up online about real estate right now, it's all over the news. You'll just be hearing about our tight real estate market all over California. So that's what we're going to talk about first, is this crazy market that we're in. Just to give you guys a little bit of an idea, roughly 25% of our sales right now are all cash buyers. So when you are buying something, you are competing, a quarter of the people you're competing against are all cash. Back in 2006, that used to be just 10%. So it's a tougher market right now, and what you tougher competition. About 3% or greater are international buyers. So people coming in from other countries buying our properties here in California.
And real fast, Renee, I want to ask you about that. Thank you for bringing that up. Are these the buyers that are showing up with truckloads of cash?
Well, you can't technically show up with truckloads, but that would be nice. But they're definitely making it super, super competitive. And you know what? It's a lot of Asian buyers, Canadian buyers, and then the rest of the numbers are a lot less of who's coming in from other places. But those are the majority of our international buyers. Just to give you guys an idea, too, 36% of our buyers are the millennials. So it's like the first-time home buyers. These are the people that they may be move-up buyers, depending on when they got their first home. So they need equity in their home to cash out and do something else. So for them to compete with an all-cash buyer, it's a little crazy. They need to have an amazing setup for their loan situation to be able to do that.
Renee, my follow-up question for you is simple. I thought 70% of millennials live with mommy and daddy. Are you saying that we're changing that trend?
Well, they're growing up, and now they want to be home buyers. Okay. They have families. Okay. They don't want to have their family live at home with mom and dad, at least until the reverses and mom and dad come and live with you, okay. Right? So we're looking really at quality of life factors. For example, I'm only going to mention San Francisco here. It takes just barely under $150,000 a year income to modestly support a family of four. So what we're seeing is all these people are fleeing the Bay Area. And in fact, a poll was done by the Economic Policy Institute, and 49% of the people that were polled in the Bay Area said that they wanted to leave because of the high cost of living.
That is absolutely staggering and unbelievable, Renee, that in order to live in the Bay Area, probably Los Angeles, and let's face it, parts of San Diego, it's expensive. So my follow-up question for you, Renee, has to do with, we have a tight market, right? I mean, you're talking about it. What can you do, however, if you want to buy a home? You talk about the cash buyers, and I realize those are very sexy buyers. However, we want homeowners to live the American dream. What are you and your team doing to help make that a reality.
So I'm glad you said the word team. We have a great team, and it just, it takes preparation, and it takes the people that you surround yourself with. So for example, like building an amazing business, you can't have a weak link because you're only as good as your weakest link, right? So the people on your team are your mortgage professional. They're going to help us build you in advance the picture of what those finances need to look like, how we need to structure everything, what your options are, how much money that you're going to have out of pocket, so then we can go write an amazing offer. And once we have all of gathered all of this information and have you all set up the right way, we can structure things and go into situations where we can force you to be one of the top competitors in a tight market. And we can write offers a certain way. I'm not going to tell you all my tricks till we sit down and you meet with me on how we're going to buy. So anyway, if you have questions on that, call me at 833-697-3832. That's 833-697-3832. So the other people on our team are our wonderful mortgage professional. I'm with Realty One Group. Greg McClure is an amazing broker. There's a lot of great brokers, but I'm going to tell you why I am such a big fan. I am just in love with their system of how they support their realtors at that office. I've been with other brokers. You know, you pick a great agent, but then also you're picking the broker that supports their agents. And how they support us passes on down to our clients. So, for example, I'm able to do special advertising for my clients that I wouldn't be able to do in other brokerages. I'm able to have a special leeway to do certain things that fit their scenario so we can look at your big picture of what the client needs and really tailor how we go out and get a house or how we list your house, but with their blessing and with all the tools that I have in that office. And we're high tech over there, so I love it.
For those of you just joining us, I've got my favorite real estate agent in the country, and that is Renee Nielsen. Renee, I want to talk about advertising because you just mentioned you've got a great broker. You work at a great company. I want to know about the advertising that you do for your clients. What is it that you're attracted to help your clients sell their homes or to help them buy a home? What is it that you like and you're attracted to?
Ronnie, I want to go back to the 80-20 rule. And I feel like we need to pick out the 20% of the most important things when, for example, when we're listing a home and really zone in on those items. So, for example, you might have a house that's out in the country and you have to drive up to that house and there's some okay things about that house, but maybe it's where that house is located. Or maybe it has this amazing like half an acre that you drive through that's a little blah right now, and we can throw flowers out there to grow in the next 2 months. And so when actually someone pulls up, they have the most amazing feeling of home before you get there. Sometimes it's just the little things. Maybe it's the view. Maybe it's the kitchen. It's not, you know, no, there's no perfect home. So it's how do we promote the qualities of that home that are going to be the most attractive.
Renee, I love that about you because you are willing to do anything and help the seller to improve their home to get top dollar. And you know what that leads me to? Celebrity real estate. Because Renee, you have been to Sundance Film Festival and you have met so many celebrities. My question is, how do their homes differ? And what are you seeing right now for the celebrity real estate market throughout California?
Well, Ronnie, celebrity homes are maybe, I don't know, 2 times, 5 times, 10 times larger than our houses here at home or where we're living or whatever. But it doesn't really matter. We can still pull some of the same features or the same feelings from what we're looking at with what they're doing. So, for example, I love this. I met Moby up in Sundance is what you're referring to. He actually had a home that's listed in Los Angeles. It's just under 5,000 square feet and barely under $5 million. And what if you go and look online, so you can look on the SACB, there's other publications that have published this video. But if you go root around a little bit and you'll see it, these homes are light and bright and they're white walls, natural floors. He actually has a more traditional looking home, pool in the back, those kinds of things. So it's not one of those modern boxes that everyone loves, floor to ceiling windows, but it's still the same feeling. So it used to be where the homes recently, you know, kind of were more in the gray tones, the natural tones, those kinds of things. Now we're transitioning into a little bit different color palette.
And so would you say, Renee, that the homes of celebrities that you're noticing are more modern, right? More current and a lot less clutter.
plenty of clutter is removed to be. They get rid of the clutter. That's how you sell any home. Just get rid of the clutter. So if you're interested in buying or selling a home, we're getting right into spring right now. I would love to get you guys the special spring pricing. Call me at 833-697-3832. That's 833-697-3832. I really, really urge you guys to call me right away. Mortgage rates are going up. In fact, the last couple months, they've gone up almost a whole point. That means that you can buy more home right now than you will be in the future as they continue to go up. That's 833-697-3832.
All right, Renee, I want to thank you so much for that incredible interview. All right, everybody, I've got a compelling closing statement on my show. It's a deep subject, and it's about the rising suicide rates among teenagers in our country. I love kids. So if you love kids too, you want to stick around for that next segment coming up next on the Ronnie Deutsch Radio Show.
You're listening to the Ronnie Deutsch Radio Show. We'll be back with more right after this.
The following segment on the Ronnie Deutsch Radio Show is brought to you by OIC Tax Services at 800-695-3010.
And now, back to the Ronnie Deutsch Radio Show.
Hello, and welcome back to the Ronnie Deutsch Radio Show. I'm your host, Ronnie Deutsch. Now, this next segment is one of the most important segments I've ever done on the show, because I'm talking about the significant increase in suicides amongst teenagers, which is alarming and utterly heartbreaking. In fact, the suicide rate for white kids and teens between the ages of 10 to 17 was up 70% between 26 and 2016, which is sickening to me. And if you're an African American kid, the news is even worse, because your suicide rate was actually higher at a staggering 77%. How in the world can the greatest country have the highest suicide rates for kids? You see, the sad reality today is that life has become totally and completely overwhelming for far too many kids. And what's so strange is that the kids killing themselves are not your average kids. Instead, many of these kids are superstars at sports or academics or music or art or band or leadership. And they have brothers and sisters and dogs and cats. And yet they all share one thing in common, and that's a despair so deep and painful that all of them believed suicide was their only way out. You see, unfortunately, in most cases, suicide is a permanent solution to a temporary problem. But hey, when you're in the deepest cave of depression, it seems like suicide is the only way out. Now, I don't know about you, but I want to be honest here this morning, because I considered taking my own life on Saturday, April 23rd, 2011. In fact, the only thing that stopped me from killing myself on that exact day was God and the love of my life. So I totally and completely understand, more than you can imagine, the depths of despair that you or your kid may be feeling today. And all that I can say to all of you is that there is light and there is sun at the end of the tunnel here on earth. And as for me, that light and that sun is God, which is why at my worst time of my entire life, I am so grateful that I chose to live and fight back against the most corrupt legal system and politicians in the country. And the great news is that I won, and I didn't kill myself, and I have a voice, and I have the courage to talk about the evil that plagues our great state and country because of awful politicians like you, Jerry Brown, and you, Senator Kamala Harris. But you see, these kids can't see the light or the sun. And what's alarming is that more kids than ever before are admitting out loud that they're having suicidal thoughts. In fact, what you need to know is that the data shows that white males between the ages of 14 to 21 are at the highest risk of suicide. So I'm telling you right now, if you have a kid who's struggling, I am begging you, don't ignore your kids and think it's just going to get better if you sweep it under the rug, because it's not going to get better without your help. And that's where the problem begins, because help is not available for these kids like it was available for me when I was younger. Because when I was a kid growing up on Goya Street, get off your ass street, in Granada Hills, California, no kid ever intentionally took their own life. And yet today, kids go without mental health screening or exams, and in most cases, have zero access to any mental health services, which is pathetic and a disgrace for our great country. So let's be real here. Most high school kids are ashamed to admit or talk about the fact that they have mental health issues because they want to fit in so badly and resist seeking real help. Plus, we've got a number of societal issues that kids have to deal with, like opioid-addicted parents, awful divorces, abuse physically and emotionally, poverty, bullying, neglect, lack of love, respect, and acceptance. Because if you're not a popular kid today, sometimes the isolation and the despair is awful and emotionally overwhelming. Now, as all of us know, if you're a kid and you have no friends, it's devastating and it's heartbreaking. Just look at the heartfelt examples of kids who have birthday parties with no one in attendance. I mean, I can't even imagine what that pain is like for the kid on his birthday or their parent. I'm just talking about it with you and our producer, Mike, right now. It makes my heart ache. And then there's social media, the ultimate bully playground, where kids are actually encouraged to kill themselves by other emotionally disconnected kids. After all, we live in a world where hurtful words are now the norm, rather than love, praise, or encouragement, which is what I fortunately experienced as a child. In fact, I want to tell you right now that when I was 13 years old, my mom bought me a shirt. And you know what it said on it? I can do it. That's right, Mom. I love you and thank you for that. Do you realize that most parents wrongfully think that if their kid, like little Charlie, is playing a sport for their high school, that the high school nurse or the high school doctor is going to provide a thorough physical and mental examination on their kid? But the reality is that nothing could be further from the truth, because the physical exams being performed on your kids at high school are a coughing joke, and they don't do anything to ensure that your kid is actually mentally and emotionally healthy, because that doesn't matter to their team. You know what matters to their team is winning. And what's so sad is that many of these kids, when they kill themselves, they leave behind moms, dads, aunties, siblings, grandparents, and friends who are heartbroken and devastated. I mean, suicide affects everyone, and yet, if we really break it down, many kids who take their own lives, they just can't deal with the dysfunctional lives that the people who left behind created for them. Yeah, that's right. It's not the kid's fault. It's the parents' fault, man. That's where most of this dysfunction lies. For example, many of these kids have drug-addicted parents, or abusive parents, or uncaring parents, or worse, no parents at all. Unlike you or me or my producer, Mike, because we were raised by loving and caring parents who actually cared about our emotional and mental well-being. I mean, can you imagine the guilt and the anguish of what-ifs that haunt parents of kids who kill themselves? After all, many of these kids may have been saved if the parents just took them to see a qualified and trained therapist. What about all the clues that your kids left? Stop sweeping them under the rug. Now, I realize that teenagers are like aliens, but literally, if you notice that your teen is more depressed, they're not talking as much, something is wrong, and you've got to reach out and talk to them. Now, I realize that some of you don't have health insurance, or you can't afford to take your kid to see a therapist. Well, the great news is, if you can't afford therapy, we have a government program called Medicaid Children's Health Insurance Program, which means you can apply and you can qualify and you can get your kid's help. Because the reality is, if your kid needs help, yes, of course, there's great teachers and counselors at their schools that they can talk to. However, moms and dads, I'm begging you, your kids need professional help. Now, the trend that really concerns me are those teens who regularly post on their social media how much they hate their lives and how badly they want to kill themselves. In fact, it almost seems like a sick game to see who's going to kill themselves sooner and faster, which is why I've said to you 100 times in the past, and I'm going to say it 100 times in the future, I'm begging you to watch your children's social media, because it's not what they're saying necessarily, it's what they're reading. So please, do yourself and your family and your family dog a huge favor. Put your cell phone down, turn your computers and TVs off, and spend time with your kids and tell them how much you love and adore them. All right, everybody, I thank you so much for your support and encourage you to like us at Ronnie Deutsch Radio. Or you could visit us at our beautiful website, RonnieDeutschRadio.com, where you can connect with our experts and listen to any of our previous shows. The bottom line is, I want you to take care of yourself. I want you to have a great week, and remember, here comes the sun on the Ronnie Deutsch Radio Show.
Here comes the sun. Here comes the sun.